Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation to enrich your lives and your relationships. I see that. We have an awesome topic for you tonight, you guys. And I think it's going to be an excellent discussion. We're going to cover a few things tonight, but let me just give you our little intro. We wanted you to tune in tonight because we want to talk about something very specific. We want to talk about the importance of counseling tonight. And the title was Dying Inside, the importance of counseling. And so what happens in our communities is we end up putting up, forget the intro, let me just be real tonight. We end up putting up these facades of ourselves while we're hurting on the inside, we're depressed, we're holding things in and not talking to anybody because we're trying to save face or present this perfect image, especially those of us in ministry. And this is not just specifically for ministry. This is everybody. This is something that everybody struggles with. And in the height of what has happened in the last few days in San Bernardino, we know that. But this show is not about San Bernardino, but that's a prime example that we are basing this show off of. This is almost like an emergency show. At some point, counseling in our communities became some taboo thing. If you went to counseling, it's because you were crazy, you had some type of mental issue or something like that, and it's frowned down upon typically in the Black church community. It has been. I'm finding that more and more now people are leaning towards going to get counseling and talking to people. And so we're going to cover a little bit of that tonight as well. Thank you for joining us on Facebook as well as Blog Talk Radio. You can tune into our show three ways. If you don't want to deal with the web or you don't want to deal with Facebook, you know, you can call us by phone, 657-383-1937, 657-383-1937. That's also a way that you can have your voice heard live over the airwaves internationally. Relationship Central is a Blog Talk Radio podcast, so we are international. We get international callers sometimes. So tune in on Facebook Live. If it dies out, we will come right back. So just look for us to boot up again on Facebook Live if it cuts out. Okay, you guys. Hi, Dr. Newell.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I'm okay. Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here once again with you on this evening. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, can't do it. Go ahead.
Dr. Newell, you guys, let's be easy on him tonight, okay, because we'll be honest about it because a lot of people know already that Dr. Newell was a good friend to Cedric Anderson, who also happens to be, you know, the San Bernardino shooter who took the life of the wonderful Miss Karen Smith as well as a young boy that died, and there was one wounded and many traumatized children. Okay, we'll just get this monkey off our backs and put it out there. Dr. Knowles is struggling tonight, you guys, because we've been dealing with a lot of mixed emotions, hurting hearts for the families, for Karen, and also the fact that when you did have somebody that you knew as a good person, how do you mourn that in the wake of them doing something this atrocious? So we're dealing with a lot, you guys, but the point of this show tonight is the importance of counseling in our lives when we're dealing with things on the inside and we don't tell anyone, we don't talk about it to anyone, and we try to handle it all on our own so people don't look at us a certain way. We have got to get rid of that stigma in our communities, Okay, and I may end up with the brunt of the show tonight, but Dr. Newells is here, and he's going to speak whenever he gets ready, okay? But you guys keep him as well as all of the families involved in your prayers. Thank you all for joining us this evening. It is so important that we get rid of the stigma in our communities that counseling is taboo, that counseling is something to be frowned upon, or that seeking therapy or counseling means that you have a mental issue to the point where you're not able to function in society. Can I break the news to you guys? Most of America deals with a mental issue or two. I just want to let you guys know that. Most of America has been through traumatic experiences. A lot of us have, you know, from rich to poor, from black to white. We have all had traumatic experiences in our lives that have caused some degree of post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's what they're calling it nowadays. You know, they always come up with something new for these things. I am a veteran, so I know a lot about it, okay? This is something a lot of people struggle with. Yes,
one
doctor?
Second, sweetie. Can you go type in here, go to, mm-hmm. I want them to go
well,
to.
Well, can you talk, say hello to the
yeah.
people?
Hello, everyone. And as Lady Newell said, it's I don't know, it's kind of rough for me because the person that the media is talking about, I don't know that person, you know, and, you know, I mean, and then I've had people get upset with me because of, how do I put it, because, you know, I don't feel like they do, you know, I'm, and it's not that I'm not upset, it's not that I'm not angry, I'm angry because, you know, if a person wants to, if you want to do something to yourself, that's one thing, but to do stuff to other innocent people and you remove their right to, of life is completely wrong. What you want to do yourself, is, you know, that's in between you and your God, you know, but when you start adding other people into your mess and your stuff, that's when it gets wrong. And I know we don't know what drives people to do what they do and that kind of stuff. That's why it's so, Lady Newells, you know, said, it's so very important to get counseling, because it's so important to go talk to somebody, you know, and a lot of times we've been, we think counseling or seeing a psychiatrist is taboo, and if I go see a psychiatrist, I go see a counselor, something's wrong with me, because that's the way society has made it seem. Like if you go see somebody or you go talk to somebody, something's wrong with you, and it doesn't have to be anything wrong. You know, I never forget when I wrote my doctoral thesis for college, I put in there, you know, most people, they want to go see a counselor after everything's already been, I mean, in complete turmoil. You know, I mean, when it's about to break down, you know, you can't prepare for an earthquake in the time of an earthquake. You already have to be prepared. You already have to have your earthquake preparedness or emergency kit. You can't go get it together when the earthquake, and that's the way people are. They want to come to the counselor after the earthquake has shaken them completely off their foundation, and now you want to come see a counselor and want them to rebuild it. But let's look at it this way. You don't take your car to get maintenance, you know, when it breaks down. There's a warning light that comes on to let you know it's time to go get maintenance. And so most of you guys know that, you know, in your personal life, you know when that warning light's going off, when your stress level is up high, when anxiety is getting you, you know, it's time for you go to talk to somebody. It's time for you to sit down with somebody and help them, let them help you work through that stuff. You know, maybe if, and then the bad point about Christians and church, you know, when you get in church, we're taught we don't have problems. We don't show our problems. We're just perfect people with no problems and no issues. And if you show that you have problems, then some people have a tendency to look at you and judge you according to your problems, and then they want to judge you, your spirituality, which is wrong. You know, the Bible said the prophet Elijah, when he went up against the prophets of Baal, and after he did what he did, then he ran and hid. You know,
right.
So now he just called fire down from heaven, killed all these men, and then you go hear a woman's hunting for your head, and you go hide, which shows me you can have an up moment and a down moment all in a matter of days and minutes and seconds.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's so important for us as Christians to go get help. It's so important for us to sit down and talk to people, you know, and let's get out of this facade that everything in our lives is right, and if I let somebody know what's going on, they're going to judge me. So what? You're
right.
About to drive yourself crazy anyway.
Yes.
You're about to drive yourself loony anyway, trying to keep up this facade, this Christian facade, like you know, you got it all together. You know, and that's the terrible thing about pastors and ministers that keep this Christian facade going, you know, like you got it all together. No, we don't have it all together. We are sinners saved by grace. And we got issues. We got things we go through. We got problems and life turmoils. It's not like because me and Lady Newell's does, you know, do Relationship Central and we're giving marital advice. It's not like we see eye to eye all the time. It's not like, you know, everything in our house is just peachy keen and wonderful. Points in times she gets angry with me, and points in times I get angry with her. Points in times, you know, my wife is, you know, Lady knows a bit different. She'll let things go. I'm one, you know, give me some time, and it may be 2 or 3 hours later. It may be a day later. I'm just being real, you know, but unless we're real with one another and we come out of this stuff, of this facade of Christians got it all together and Christians, you know, supposed to have it together. I'll never forget, I had a church meeting once, and some of the members were complaining. And I said, well, what about me? What about when I have a bad day? And they told me I'm not supposed to have a bad day. I'm the pastor. Everything in my life is supposed to be perfect. You know, and that's some crazy facade. That's just not true.
It's not true, you guys. Everybody, but, you know, and in that same point, when you're hurt and angry, you're liable to say anything, and then you calm down, and you start to think rationally at that point. So in the midst of people having all these emotions running around, it's understandable. But let's just get our bearings about ourselves, is what I'm saying, and look at things from a rational standpoint. Sometimes, and those of you on the Relationship Central feed, is bad for some reason.
Relationship Central feed.
Okay.
That's why I tell them go to.
You guys go to the Relationship Central feed. It's better. Okay. I don't know why this one is breaking up. You guys, and K Dub is asking if it's not too much. Can we talk about the situation? K Dub, everything we know besides what we know of him as a person is already in the media. I mean, to be honest with you, that story, if you want to know about that story, the news has covered it pretty well. So if you Google it, it'll tell you everything you need to know. What we really, and you know we love you, what we really want to focus on tonight is the counseling standpoint of it, the reason, well, why did things come to this point? That's what we want to talk about, and that's the only reason we mentioned it, because this was obviously, if someone we knew as a good person and God-fearing person could do something like that, obviously there was a boiling over point where there was a buildup and something happened, and some people would say, you know, they just crazy, but people aren't just crazy for no reason. There's a reason. People are crazy, and and I'm not saying it's anybody else's fault. There obviously was a lot going on, but I'm saying that how do we deal with all these emotions that we have on a daily basis as human beings? How do we do that? And let's see what you guys have to say. This is an interactive conversation, so please share your thoughts with us, okay? We want to hear from you guys just as well. And Upper Room says, and welcome, by the way. We seem to have this idea that everything we face is spiritual, but a lot of what we face is natural, yes. And when it's ignored long enough, it affects the spiritual. Thank you so much, Upper Room. You said it, and that's what we've been saying all along. And if you look at, thank you, Ms. Chapman. Okay, you guys in the better feed. Thank you. Pastor Janae, I see you. I'm going to give you this thought, and then I'm going to let you on. What I want to say was I'm going to piggyback on what Upper Room said. Our motto is life application with a spiritual foundation. That if you look on our business cards, if you look on the Relationship Central cover photo and all of that, it's life application with a spiritual foundation. We can know scripture all day long. We can know what it means to be a good person, but we have to do it. We have to apply it. And how do we do that in tough situations? Where do we get the self-control from? Where do we get that patience from? Yes, we draw it from God, but how do we draw it from God? You know what I mean? We hear these do this, do that's a lot. And you hear it over the pulpit a lot, unless you go to a teaching church. But you just hear just do it. And that's what we got to do. We got to just do it. But what do we do when is the question. How do we apply the scripture to our lives? And that's what we've been talking about all along, and that was the very reason that we opened up this platform, and it was focused on relationships to give people a platform to come and vent, talk about your gripes and complaints, you know, find some answers to tough questions and things like that, because we need that. I've been talking to a person that's very near and dear to me for a long time about getting counseling for her grief. And she doesn't want to do anything outside the church. And I said, well, you know, it may not be a bad thing just to go check somebody out. Go through the church if you want to go through the church. You know, but get somebody that's licensed or something like that, that has some credentials. Now, don't just go talk to a minister. When it comes to serious stuff, people got to be able to say, this is past my skill set. This is past my skill bank. And I need to refer you to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what Pastor Janae has to say tonight. I'm really looking forward to hearing from her. Pastor Janae, how you doing this evening? You still there, Pastor Janae? Okay. For some reason, that's not working. Pastor Janae, I don't know, maybe she left out. So anyway, what was I saying? If it's past your skill bank, you need to just refer somebody out. Those of you in ministry, if somebody comes to you with some serious mental issues and you see it and you know it, and they come to you to try to talk about some crazy stuff, refer them out to someone, please, that is above your level, or a medical provider, you know, something like that. Because you can't deal with everything if you don't have the credentials to do it. And a lot of us in the church and ministry feel just because we've been ordained and licensed as ministers that we have the credentials to deal with mental illness. And we can pray and lay hands all day long, but really you don't know anything about it.
Well, you know, the bottom line, ladies, is something you said a minute ago. A lot of times, and especially in the Christian world, somebody said it earlier, we want to make everything spiritual. And, you know, everything's a demon or everything's a devil. And not everything's a demon or the devil. Sometimes you just have psychological things going on. It has nothing to do with the enemy, you know. You don't look at a mentally handicapped kid and say that, or a person and say, that's a demon or that's the devil. You don't look at a person with Down syndrome and say, that's a demon or a devil, you know, or somebody gets an accident and wind up with brain damage. You don't say that's a demon or a devil, you know. So the bottom line is, can a Christian be persuaded by the enemy? Sure. You know, but then a lot of times there are other underlining factors that even go into that. You know, so there's nothing wrong with getting help. And then I think people always make the statement, well, I want to see somebody Christian. Well, I've seen a lot of doctors. I've had somewhere in the neighborhood of what? Last time I counted, I had somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 operations. And I've never gone in the doctor's office and asked them, are you a Christian? You know, I've gone to Kaiser, I've gone to Cedars, I've gone to Martin Luther King, I've gone to Big General, Harvard General. I've never walked in any of my hospitals when I needed help and said, are you a Christian? Oh, you're not a Christian? Oh, no, you can't work on my leg. Oh, you're not a Christian? Oh, you can't work on my arm or my back or whatever, you know. So now why is it when it comes to my mind, which is still a part of my body, now all of a sudden it has to be a Christian?
Right.
You know, there are people out there that are skillful enough to help you through your situations, whether it's grief, whether it's loneliness, whether it's depression, whether it's anger. There's people out there that are able to help you that have been to school just like a physical doctor has gone to school. The other doctors have gone to school also.
Absolutely.
But we'll go trust a preacher. We'll go trust a pastor that ain't even been to school. Just because he says he's a pastor and I hear from God, well, who's to say?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, who's to say they're really hearing from God? You know, and then we'll walk away and take all that information. And I'm not saying don't go talk to your pastor. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go talk to a minister, you know. But what I am saying, Because I agree with what somebody said from the upper room. Not everything is spiritual. I mean, I went to the doctor, and the doctors told me that I suffer from a chemical imbalance, which causes me to get depressed sometimes. And I know now if I eat sugar, it boosts whatever up in my brain, and I'm fine, you know. But that's not a spiritual thing. That's just my brain just gets low on sugar, and I need some sugar. You know, so now, what is that, a demon? That's a sugar demon. The devil is a lie. It's not no sugar demon. It's nothing. I have a problem mentally. I mean, you guys go on my Facebook page and look, you'll see a brace on my leg. Now, what is that, a knee demon? A knee demon just jumped in. I'm being honest.
You're right, though. You guys know he's right. You know that's how y'all do.
That's what people do. You know, I mean, so now when I went to the doctor, I told my wife, I said, babe, my knees are killing me. My wife didn't say, well, you know, we better go see a pastor and see what's wrong with your knees. No, I took my butt to the doctor, went to the Cedars and saw the doctor at Cedars. He said, your kneecap is tearing away. Put me in a brace and I walked out.
And you know, I heard somebody say, you know, about a person, well, he's just crazy. That ain't necessarily demonic. Some people just act foolish. You know what I mean? You call people crazy, but not everybody has a mental illness. Some people just, you know, that's just how they are. But let's get to some of these comments, and I'm going to try Pastor Janae again because I tried to let you in and it didn't. Let's see. Upper Room, thank you so much for that comment once again. K-Dub said, there are implosive people, and there are explosive people. It's best to deal with it before it boils over. Though, talking to someone. Yeah, you're right, K-Dub. That's why we're talking about counseling, because let's just say you're going and talking out your issues on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or, let's say, quarterly. You go see somebody just to vent about your life and your gripes and complaints. Some of us don't want to complain to God. I'm one of those people. I know the Bible says to give my burdens over to the Lord. I know that. But I'm thankful to God. That's what I feel in my heart is thankfulness. I have my moments of why, God, and all that, but I'm not going to go to God complaining. So I'll go complain to somebody that gets paid to listen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not going to, I don't like to burden my brothers and sisters with my complaints. That's just me, though. But I'm willing to sit there and listen, you know what I mean, and be an ear, because I know how important it is for people to be able to have somebody to talk to. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. You just need to listen. Let's see. Much better. It's my day off, and I can finally chime in. Thank you, Michelle, for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you. Pastor Janae, you're in the queue. I'm about to try you again. Upper Room said you were teaching real good, honey.
Thank you.
And Brandon said some people are or can have a chemical imbalance. You guys are right about mental illness issues. Thank you, Mr. Matthews. People just sometimes we're so spiritually heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Isn't that how the saying goes? Everything becomes spiritual, and we need to remember that there's a balance in this life.
I was going to church. They had a guy who would come to church, and music would start playing, and this guy would go fall down in the aisle and be flopping around, and they were saying, ooh, he got the Holy Ghost. Look at him. He got the Holy Ghost. All along, the brother was having seizures.
Right, and K-Dub just said, you got some Christians who are against taking meds to help someone who needs it, which is wrong.
Right.
Absolutely. If the doctor tell you you need some medication, I mean, use your reasoning. You don't have to take everything they give you. But if you need something for your brain, or else you going to hit somebody or bust out cussing randomly, you
correct.
Need meds. Can we be honest? You don't need somebody to lay their hand on your forehead if they've been doing it for years and ain't nothing happened. Okay? They can keep laying hands on you, but take some. God can deliver past that medication. Trust me. You let them lay hands on you, but take your medicine while you're doing that. You know, I'm not saying you need to take it. Trust me, because I don't take everything. I really don't. I don't even like taking a leave because that stuff is bad for your kidneys. But I ain't going to get into that. Let me see. Can I get to Pastor Janae again?
I'll take you.
Can you hear me?
Pastor Janae. Yes. How you doing, woman of God?
I'm doing great. I just, first of all, before I say what I have to say, my heart continues to go out to you and your family. And, Bishop, you guys know I love you to life, and I can only imagine what you guys are going through right now. However, I do want to talk about this topic real quick because it's a topic that is very close to my heart, because my mother, who is with Jesus right now, she was a manic depressive. And all of my life growing up, I noticed that the church would treat her okay when they didn't know. But the minute that they found out, all of a sudden she had leprosy or she wasn't good enough to preach. Now, this woman preached, started a church, and would just go up to anybody just telling about the word of God, fire in her bones. She just loved the Lord. But the minute that they found out that she had a chemical imbalance that led to manic depressive disorder, all of a sudden she became a leper. All of a sudden she wasn't good enough to tell people about Jesus anymore. And growing up with that, I started seeing, and I even see to this day, that 9 chances out of 10, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know I'm going to come straight from the hip. 9 chances out of 10, the pastor is not the person you should go to talk about any kind of mental illness. Because what ends up happening, if they have not, as Bishop said, gone to school, they're not qualified to be able to distinguish whether it is spiritual or whether it is a chemical imbalance. And what you'll end up doing is you'll end up making people walk around and go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And before you know it, they're calling on Jesus, and Jesus is saying, please go to where I sent you. Please go. And because the church is so stuck on, I'm saying the church as a whole, because the church is so stuck on mental illness being you're crazy. No. So people have to live in fear of saying something because they don't want to be ostracized from the church. Or better yet, they don't want their business to be spread in the church. Find out something. Oh yeah, that's, I knew there was something wrong with her. She sure is crazy. She needs the blue, green, yellow, and purple pill. And then all of a sudden, whereas you were okay, now because they know about a situation, you are no longer that. So we're walking around with all these spiritual pseudo masks on, not being able to be the fullness of God that He's called us to be, because man is more comfortable with you wearing that fake church mask instead of wearing your realness so that you can be healed. And when I read about the situation, and I'm not really going into it, but when I read about the situation, the first thing I started hearing people, well, they should have known something was wrong. They should have known. Well, why should they have known? If you don't leave an avenue open so that people can feel safe enough to share what's going on the inside, you're not going to know. So that's part of it on us as a church.
You're right, Pastor. Thank you so much for that. You are so right about that. And that's it. But there's also something else. I want to recap kind of what she said and then catch up with some of these comments, because we do have Ms. Christina Ross here, which we want to get to her immediately, because Karen,
they were cousins,
so she was very close with her, so we want to allow her some time to express herself. What she said was that we don't address these issues in the church, and that's true. Please be careful what is said. That is my cousin who passed away.
Right.
Ms. Ross, absolutely, we would never say anything,
right.
And we are not trying to get any kind of media attention or anything, or we're not trying to give them anything to say either that they have not already said. So we will be very careful.
Let me say this, and to Christina, you know, you've known me for years, you know, and it's very hard for me, because the person that did this, I didn't know that person. You know, I knew a guy that would give me the shirt off his back, you know, and so I'm very sorry for what he did to your cousin, and even this 8-year-old kid, you know, and even the kids that were traumatized by it. So I'm so sorry, you know. I'm angry, but then I'm sad. You know, I mean, so some of it you just don't know how to deal with. You know, and I wish, I do, I pray, you know, people have come against me saying it was, you know, my fault that I put them together and this kind of stuff, and that her blood, your cousin's blood, was going to be required on my hands and this kind of stuff. I had nothing to do with that. You know, and I wish, I really wish he would have went and got some help. I really wish he would have seen somebody, you know, that he could have talked to, that none of this would have happened, you know. And that's why we're doing this and why we're making this plea. If you out there need to talk to somebody, go
please,
see somebody.
Please go talk to somebody. Please. And we focus on relationships and ministry issues because that's where our skill set is, you guys. We don't deal with mental illness. We didn't spot mental illness in him. Now, let me tell you what I spotted, Christina. I spotted a person with gripes and complaints about life like everybody else. I'm a veteran, too. I served 6 years, you know, in the Army. And they weren't six of my, you know, I mean, they were six of my best years and worst years because the military has its ups and downs. It has its pros and cons. But most vets lead with some kind of PTSD from boot camp by itself. They stuck us in cattle trucks, crushed together like sardines. We didn't know what was going on. That by itself was like, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, so most people have some issues. But see, the difference between me and some of those people, I went and dealt with my stuff early. Do you hear me? I went and dealt with my stuff. And so I can function like a normal human being despite things that I've been through in my life, military, before, since. We need to deal with our demons. And when I say demons, I mean that in a spiritual and a natural way. I mean it in both senses of the word, like with the figure of speech and in a spiritual matter. I'm going to get to your comments. And Christina said it's not your fault. She said she loves you, and she's sad because she looks up to you. Okay, so, you know, Dr. Newells is here pouring his heart out, and we did not want to focus this show on that, but since Christina was here, we wanted to take that time to send our condolences to her and tell her that we do love you. That's who I met at 24 Hour Fitness, or was that her cousin?
No, I think it was Christina.
That's her. Yeah, I remember that face. You hugged him. I remember that. She said, I don't judge. She appreciates the conversation. Well, we appreciate you for even tuning in, Ms. Ross, and I thank you for your understanding. And even in your time of grief, we are praying for you yet, and we love you. And we're here if you guys need anything, you or your family. I met her one time, and she's just as sweet as an angel, okay? Her spirit was amazing. Jay Carlin says, sending love, Christina. Yes, love to you, Christina. Thank you, sis. I appreciate that. Tanisha says, indeed. Okay, Jay Carlin says, it would be good for you and your church family to have a grief counselor come to the church. That is an amazing idea because, you know, the pastor can give some grief counseling, but they're not always equipped to deal with it on this type of level, especially when something tragic like this happens. You don't expect this. It's different when somebody's expected to go. Am I wrong? Because you deal with grief as well.
It is.
So I haven't got any training on grief, okay? My husband has done that, so he could tell you more about that.
But, you know, I mean, even with this, you know, I've dealt with people that have committed suicide and, you know, families where their loved ones have committed suicide and that kind of stuff. But, you know, This, and I don't think anybody could prepare you for certain things. And the Bible doesn't even prepare you for certain things. You know, I mean, the Bible didn't. I mean, I've been saved for over 30 some years, and the Bible never prepared me for this. You know, no, I've been to theology school and have 2 degrees, but it never prepared me for anything like this. So, you know, in dealing with certain things, sometimes we need to talk to somebody because the church isn't prepared for it.
Right.
What you tell me, if you guys know a pastor that's prepared for this time, this hour, and the stuff that goes on in our communities, the stuff that goes on in our media, the stuff that's going on in our White House, if you show me somebody that's prepared for this stuff, send them to me because I need to lay on their couch and talk to them because I don't know anybody that's prepared for it. The only thing we can do as Christians is pray. You know, and as a Christian counselor, it's some of this stuff nowadays is past, as Lady Newell said, past my skills bank.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what to do. You need to, most of us really need to go talk to somebody. You know, I mean, right now, who can deal with the emotions that I'm feeling? Should I be angry? Should I be sad? Should I? Who can deal with
it? Yeah, because we need counsel right
you
now.
Know,
to be honest with you,
who can really deal
with
it?
We're like we don't know where to start with this one, as far as, you know, because our feelings are involved. So when you are attached to the situation, that's a whole nother monster. Okay, when you're on the outside looking in, you can counsel from a level perspective. But when you are attached to the situation, we even need to do this. Upper Room says, our church currently has a grief ministry. It's definitely something to consider. Thank you very much for that. Dr. Knowles will probably not be a good person to contact for grief counseling going forward regarding this situation. For other things, absolutely. This situation, no, because he is too close to it. Check out Upper Room. Click on their page. If you click on their picture, you should be able to get to their page, their ministry page, and get some information about that. You definitely need to get some grief counseling if you have suffered the loss of a loved one. Listen to me. I don't care if it was 10 years ago and you never dealt with it. I don't care if it was longer than that. What if it was your spouse and they've been gone for quite a while and you never went to see somebody? If it was a child that you had, maybe you had a miscarriage or an abortion. Maybe you got a divorce and you never got over it and it just really tore you up and you just feel like you've never been able to get it back together. It's time to see somebody. Some of this stuff you can go talk to your pastor about, but look, do this. I put a post on my Facebook. My husband and I have not done anything. We haven't talked to the media. We haven't tried to seek media attention from what has happened, the events, or any of that stuff. We care about you. We want you to be healthy and whole. Okay? You can do that through Jesus Christ, but Jesus gave you free will. He gave you one body. He gave you one mind. It's up to you to take care of it, because half y'all know you're not doing the word. Not even half. All of you. You're not doing it 24/7. None of us are. None of us. Let's be real with ourselves. Let's take a good introspective look in the mirror and say, who am I? And you will realize there's some things that probably go deep into your past that you never dealt with. You never dealt with it, and it's haunted you for your entire life. There are things that happened to you recently that, you know, look, if you have a nightmare, If you suffer from paranoia too badly and things like, it's time to talk to somebody.
Right.
You can't go along faking the funk for too much longer. You're gonna boil over, and next thing you know, you're gonna be in a world of trouble.
And the church, let me be honest. The church is don't get mad at me, but the church is turning out a bunch of lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of crazy people, and I don't mean that
in a
bad
dream
way.
World.
Yeah, please don't think I mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean when you're telling people that have mental illnesses that, you know, you got soldiers, you got people that have been to war, you got people that have been to the military, you got people that have been to prison, you know, and they come home, post-traumatic stress disorder, it don't just happen in the military. You can have post-traumatic stress disorder from any major trauma, you know. So a person goes to prison, and maybe some things have happened to them in prison, and they come home with post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. So now the bottom line is they need to talk to somebody. Then they come home, they get in the church, they get saved, and as pastors and ministers, we tell them, pray about it. No, you need... Yeah, I know what the old folks used to say. I know what the songs say. I know what the Bible says. Take all your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. That's so cliche and easy just said, but that's hard. That's hard to do that you just take your marriage that's breaking up and just leave it there. Take your loved one that has just died and leave it there. That stuff is hard. That just don't come overnight. You know, and you can pray. I was one who believed, and don't get me wrong, I believe in prayer. And I believe in prayer nonstop. But then at one point in time, I had to go see a psychiatrist. And I was so in denial that I was not depressed, to where the psychiatrist began to ask me questions. And finally, when I got to the bottom last question, he said, "And you don't think you're depressed?" I said, "No, I'm not depressed." He said, "Fool, you are depressed." This is the way he spoke to me. And when he spoke to me in this manner, it shocked me into reality. And I started looking at my life, and I was depressed. You know, but I wasn't going to let nobody know that because I was a Christian.
Yeah.
Christians aren't supposed to even be depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, let's be, you have bad days, you have good days. Okay, let me do it from this aspect. Tomorrow is Good Friday. It's a Good Friday for us, but it was a bad Friday for him.
Yeah.
And in the garden, he prayed. Now he knew, the Bible said, he was already slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. So now, if he was already slain in the mind of God, that means he knew what he came to do. And then he gets here and he gets in the garden and say, "If it be thy will, can you let this cup pass?" Well, who was that speaking? That was the flesh. And we're all in the flesh. The spirit never gets depressed. The spirit never gets lonely. But the flesh gets lonely, depressed, angry, upset, and we have to learn how to deal with that more than just pray.
Yep. It's like living in some kind of alternate reality, you guys. My favorite writer in the Bible was the Apostle Paul, and my reason for that is because he was so real. He was so real with his. It was like, okay, you guys, let's keep it real. That was Paul all day long. While everybody else was being super spiritual, Paul was very spiritual. But his language and the way he talked, it was real. It still relates to me in these times. You know what I mean? Our language needs to change in the church. We can't be sitting up shooting these cliches out for the next 20 years. We can't do that. It's fun to play with them. Yes, our ancestors did this. They got through this way. Yes, they did. That's why we still keep a lot of the traditions we have in our churches, because we treasure those traditions. We know how important they are. But when reality hits you and you really want to be real about it, this word is not about tradition. This word is about real life. Especially the New Testament. I'm not worried about media and people talking about me because y'all know what I stand on. I don't have to worry about people taking my words and bashing me because I'm a Christian woman. I believe the Bible and it is what it is. If you don't like it, don't roll with me. I'm not going to try to blend in like that. But at the same point, I'm not going to be so strange to people that I can't be relatable to you. If I don't know the current slang, I don't mean you got to hang out with gangsters. Come on. But, you know, if I don't know what's going on in the world, if I don't keep up with the latest apps and technology, if I don't try to appeal to this generation, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work. And so I'm just tired of the facade, you guys. It's time to keep it real. And I think these events that have just happened are a serious wake-up call for our communities, that it's time to keep it real, that counseling is not a bad thing, that it's time to really look at yourself and ask yourself, do you need help? Do you just, you can't imagine the weight that's lifted off of your shoulders when you're just able to sit in front of somebody that doesn't know you, that's not judging you, that's getting paid to do what they do through your insurance. And they just got to sit there and listen to you, and they do it with joy because they're making $100-something an hour. You get to go in there and say whatsoever you want to say. Do you hear me? And without anybody judging you or any backlash coming to you or anything. Yes, of course, God hears you. But if you're a Christian, your heart is in the right place, but you have issues that you want to talk about. It's normal. And I want to let you know that what I do know is, for a fact, and I know from experience, the more and more that you store up inside of yourself, the bigger chance you have of the physical illness manifesting in your body. Now, that is twofold. That's natural and spiritual.
because what you've done now is allow the devil to get a stronghold on you to the point where something in your mind manifested to some physical. That's a whole nother show.
But, you know, Lady Knows, we're quick to tell people, the God say, take care of your temple. You know, and when we tell people, we're quick to say, God say, take
That's
care of your
true.
Temple. And we
That's
talk about, you shouldn't let that sugar, you shouldn't let diabetes get you because you should be taking care of your temple. You shouldn't let high blood pressure get you because you're supposed to be taking care of your temple. You're supposed to be taking, and we'll completely tell people that, but this, your mental, your brain is part of your temple. Your brain is where all that stuff is stored. You know, your brain is where God contacts you. When the Bible talks about your heart sometimes, it's not talking about this. It's talking about your emotions, your head.
Yes.
And so sometimes we need to go see the head doctor.
Yes.
Not that, I know I'm not that head doctor, but the head doctor, he don't know if that can deal with your mind and deal with your brain and deal with the things you go through. Why? Because the bottom line is, as people will grab the Bible and quote a whole bunch of scriptures. I have a book here. This book is it says the Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. And I happen to look up the word grief. They don't have any scriptures in here for murder. So now here's my friend Christina. What do I tell her? What scripture do I give her on the grief that she's going through? What scripture do I give her? I know she already knows the Lord will make a way. She already knows God is good. She been saved as almost as long as I have, or probably longer. So now what do I tell her? You know, and this is the portion where we as Christians have to be real. We got to get off this high horse, come down to earth, and sometimes go see people that have been professionally trained and on how to deal with us, whether it's your marriage, whether it's dealing with your children, whether it's dealing with your job, whether it's dealing with family issues. Let me tell you something personally I've carried for years, and I'll deal with my personal life. My father, when I was a young kid, was just got here, brand new. My father and my mother got into it, and my wife knows about it. My father and my mother got into it, and my father shot my mother. Shot her in the head. The bullet went into her skull and went along her skull and came out behind her ear. And every time she goes to the doctor, she has any brain x-rays or anything, they tell her, they say, do you know you got lead running along your brain? You know, and my mother's older now, so I take her to the doctor. Well, most of the time I'm sitting there feeling guilty because it was my father who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother talked about it one time. I told him, why couldn't it be your daddy that did it? Why do I have to carry the burden of this, that it was my father that did it? But I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. I'm an infant. You know, and this is something I'm telling you guys that I've never told anybody that I dealt with and I've been dealing with,
mm-hmm.
which never really realized it bothered me till in the past year or so, which I should have went and talked to somebody years ago about it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we bury things in our subconscious, and it takes something traumatic to bring it to the forefront for you to recognize it. But no, there's one difference, especially when we're talking about a culture of people. For some reason, us as Black Americans have this thing, what goes on in this house stays in this house. You don't tell nobody. And we grew up with this same mentality. We get married and still have the same mentality, and we could get help.
Yep.
But we're so ashamed, we're so embarrassed, and the comedian said, you know, he said, Black people are only people that have mentally retarded people in their family, and you never know nothing about it because
mm-hmm.
they keep them hidden somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And we do that with everything that may look bad to people. You know what I mean? We treat it like a leper. Somebody said that. Pastor Janae said it, that her mama admitted something, and she became a leper. It's like, now you're not fit to teach in the house of God or do anything. You know, it's like mental illness is so looked down upon. I want to back up to some of these comments, and I appreciate Dr. Newell tonight for bearing his soul. He's talking more to you guys tonight than he's talked to me. So I'm just letting you guys know that he really is opening up tonight. He said more tonight than he has said since in the last couple of days. We've had a lot of comments in here just about how the church, just in agreement with what we've been saying, how the church is not addressing it. And Brandon said, you know, why should I be sitting in the congregation in bondage
You know what I mean? When my leader is not willing to talk about these things.
Right.
You know, and that's so true. But, again, the pastor, sometimes things, it's not his problem. You know what I mean? Sometimes things need to be taken to your medical provider or whatever, you know, and the pastor himself. This is why we need to change the dynamic in our churches, because the pastor himself, I believe, just on GP should be on in counseling. I believe that. That's just me, though. I didn't get that out of no book. I didn't get that out of any reference manual or anybody else's mouth. That's just my thinking. I feel like when you have things poured on you so much, and then you have to pour out so hard something that you're struggling to live yourself. You need counseling, bruh. I mean, sister, you need counseling. You need somebody you can talk to, a confidant, something, but I think it should be professional. I think you should have somebody that you can talk to that can also give you some tools, breathing exercises, things that they learn in college to show you, you know, that will calm down the human body. You know what I'm saying? Physically, that work. Not meditations and stuff. I don't mean that.
Give me some Xanax.
You guys know what I mean. I mean, you know, I don't mean nobody telling you spiritual stuff. I mean somebody telling you about the body. You know what I mean? So let me go ahead. Okay, so we're getting a lot of agreement here. Hi, Toby. Hi, everybody that's joined. We sure appreciate you. Monica says she done that, and it was used against her to the point where she lost custody of her son. I'm assuming you're talking about seeking mental help. Monica, tell me yes or no. If that's what you were talking about, if you're still here, I want to address it. Hi, Tanisha. My pops is in the house. He said great advice. So community shy away from professional counseling. Tim says hi, pops.
Hey, man.
Christina said Timothy in the Bible even had problems with this mind. So I agree. Absolutely. He sure did talk about it. Tanisha, Toby says so true. Pastor Shanae, God bless you. True. She said taught dysfunction. That's a good
Let's be honest, most pastors go to theology school. They don't go to USC and take psychology and all these psych courses on how to deal with the psyche. We go learn how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
We go learn Old Testament, New Testament survey. We go learn Greek and Hebrew. We go learn how to exegete a text and eisegete a text. We learn hermeneutics and homiletics. This is what we learn in school. We don't learn how to deal with a manic depressant. We don't learn how to deal with schizophrenia. We don't learn how to deal with some of the other bipolar. We don't learn how to deal with that. And so now when somebody comes into the pastor's office that's a schizophrenic, bipolar, PTSD, well, you know what I'm trying to say, coming there with these different problems, we give them this.
And that's good, but they need more, you
know. They need medical books. They don't
medical.
At that point in time, they don't need this. Some people need them. No,
mm-hmm.
Let me find out what the disorder is and give you the medication for it or tell you how
right.
to deal with it.
And that's the reason we have this, because some things you may think we just sit up here and talk, but we don't. We really do our research and we do private counseling and seminars and conferences. We haven't done any big conferences or anything lately, but we do. So this right here says disorders of cholesterol, because just from having a cholesterol problem, there are other things that can cause and lead to chemically that you would have no idea. So it's important that if you think if something is past your skill, you need to find out what's past your skill set, and when it comes up, you should refer people out. Monica said, no, it was a personal counselor. I want to address that. Monica, stay right there. Tim says, Pop, I'm happy we had you over Carl's house because we all would have been lost or in jail or dead. Well, praise God.
Thank you.
Never mind. My apologies. Interesting conversation. No, we're going to address it, Monica, so hang in there if you can. Pastor Jay said, often told
misappropriately, take it to Jesus alone. Right, where spiritual and mental health awareness should be partnered. Absolutely. I'm going to get to that too. They need the Bible for reassurance, but you need the medical to correct the issues. Very nice, Melissa. Monica, you went to a personal counselor and you said it was held against you and you lost custody of your children. If you went to a personal counselor and you lost custody of your children solely based on that, is that what we're talking about here? Because that sounds strange to me. It sounds like there should have been a combination of things there. I don't know of any court that can take your children from you just based on the fact that you went to seek a personal counselor. That doesn't make you crazy or an unfit mother. So I'm sure there's a lot, you know, there are things you don't have the space to talk about or want to talk about here. But if you would like to talk about this more, I would like you to send us an email at either inbox us on Facebook if that's easiest for you, or you can email Newells, that's N-E-W-E-L-L-S, relationshipcentral@gmail.com. Newells relationshipcentral@gmail.com. And we can talk to you more about the situation. And because we do have resources as well, you guys. If you need something, you can come see if we have a resource for it. We have lots of resources for your needs, okay? Toby says, sometimes it's hard to go to your pastor or elder or someone in the church you trust because people don't want to be judged that are trying to be honest and seek forgiveness and help with what they are dealing with. Most leaders in the church are not submitting to the unction of the Holy Spirit to help lead and guide and not condemn. You preaching, girl.
Can I be honest why they don't do some things? Because of their own ego.
Mm-hmm.
Their own ego has grown so big, and they have been told that they should be able to handle everything. I'll even give you Bible. The Bible says that Moses sat before the people day and night judging their matters.
Mm-hmm.
And as he judged their matters, Moses' father-in-law, who was prince of Midian, Jethro, came to Moses and said, Moses, you're going to kill yourself. He said, find you. He said, let's see what God said. Well, after he prayed about it, he said, find you 70 men and let them wait on the small matters and you deal with the major matters. So the bottom line is, we as pastors and church leaders need to start saying, you know what, this isn't my forte. This isn't my area. I'm a pastor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't have the right to put anybody on medication.
Right.
And neither do I have the right to diagnose what's wrong with somebody. So when people come in our office and they're not talking Bible, and we see it's no longer the Bible that they're having issues with, then that's when we have to be bold enough, man enough, and woman enough to say, you know what, sis, my brother, I got some resources, and I need you to go talk to somebody else. But see, the problem with that is then they feel the people will look at them as less of a pastor because they couldn't handle their problems. I'd rather be less of a pastor that say I can't handle your problems rather than to sit there and try to handle your problems and then you go out and do something crazy.
Right.
And then it comes back on my hands. No, you pass. There have been married couples that me and my wife have talked to that told them, y'all need to go talk to somebody else.
Yep.
Because you pass what we are capable of giving according to what the Bible says. Now, if everything's level and we see there's nothing going on mentally, well, okay, we'll try to help you through the scriptures. But if there's something that I see mentally going on, no, you need to go talk to somebody that is mentally, that is prepared to deal with that, that can say, you know what, that's not a demon, that's not spiritual, you got whatever going on, and here's what you need. You know, maybe you need to see somebody once a week or twice a week.
Right.
Or maybe like Lady Newell said, you need to learn some breathing exercises. When I was going through some stuff, the therapist told me, he said, go take some, what you call it, Tai Chi. Told me, go take Tai Chi classes and exercise my mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, that's demonic. You only have to. Shoot, I got witness. So since they said it was demonic and I didn't want to go, I would have got me a Tai Chi video and was moving through the house. Because if it was going to help me mentally, I needed the help.
Christina, thank you for joining us tonight. She says, I'm signing off only because I live in D.C. It's 12 midnight. Please continue to be uplifting. Awesome conversation. Thank you, Ms.
Love
Ross.
You.
We love you, and we're continuously praying for you and your family, okay? God bless you. Go ahead, Bishop. I'm sorry.
So, no. Thank you. I really appreciate her chiming in because,
mm-hmm.
you know, she could have been hardcore and, you know, and been down on me, you know, and I thank her. You know, also her cousin Tim Alexander. I thank him.
Thank
you,
you
know, who's you know, when other people were coming down on me, you know, her and she's just done it and he's done it and you know tried to lift me up because people have seen. I went into the barbershop today and a guy goes, my wife will tell you she was listening. God, wasn't that you on the news?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know. People come down on you for something that wasn't, you know, and I understand it. I'm not blaming anybody. Please, you know, and to Christina, you know, even some of her family members came down on me, but let them know I don't blame anybody because I know people are angry. People are upset. People are mad. You know, so am I. You know, mad, hurt, angry, all of it. You know, so like I said, you know, like I was saying, you know, the bottom line, we got to stop letting the church put us in this spiritual box. That if you show emotions, if you cry over a loved one passing, you get angry. The Bible says be angry but sin not. If you get angry, if you get depressed, if you, whatever it is, when you find yourself in that situation, the church has tried to make us feel like if at that moment we're just not clutching the Bible and yelling Jesus, that something's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I look at the Bible, Jesus had down moments. The Bible said when Lazarus died, and here's the point, nobody knows why. They can always speculate. But the Bible says when Lazarus died, Jesus what? Wept.
Wept.
Well, why was he crying? Because Jesus, I hear preachers say he was crying because of the lack of faith. People didn't believe in it. Well, he had already said they wasn't going to believe in it. I've heard preachers say he was crying because Lazarus died. Well, why was he crying because Lazarus died when he had the ability to raise Lazarus? So when we get into that, nobody knows why he cried, but I believe he was just showing that he could cry. He was showing a human side of himself, not just always the spiritual side. He got to the point where he would get angry with the disciples. Oh, ye a little faith. We always make Jesus seem like this. When he walked around and talked, you had this violin music playing and the horns and everything was just so. No, he told the disciples, oh, ye a little faith. Do I always have to be here? And I don't believe he said that in some calm way. I believe he was aggravated when he went in the temple. I believe he turned over the money chamber. I don't believe, you know, this shouldn't be in here. And then, no, the Bible said he turned, and then he beat them out of there. Do you think he did that? Y'all get out of here now. Don't you come back here. No, I don't believe it went like that.
No.
You know, so he showed emotions. So it's okay for us to show emotions. It's okay for us to not to know how to feel. So what we're trying to say on this evening is if you need to talk to somebody, please do so. We urge you. We beg you. And it don't have to be, you know, you can start with your pastor. But then by at the end of the day, if you don't feel any better, then you need to go see somebody else too.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
Word up. That was good, Dr. Newell. Thank you so much. You've been very transparent tonight. I wasn't expecting this, you guys. I had a whole form. I had our new format laid out tonight.
She did.
We were going to have a professional radio show if it was the last thing I did tonight because we get on here and y'all know we have some serious discussions and we just get to talking. I had commercials lined up for y'all. We're still going to give away these tickets, though. We're going to give away these tickets tonight. We're not going to disappoint you in that. We're giving spring concert
tickets
away.
From?
Mathis.
Oh.
We.
You know more than I know.
Because I've been trying to keep burden off my husband. But anyway, we have a pair of spring concert tickets. Wait a minute, is it a pair? Or is it one?
I don't know. You know.
Wait. It's a pair. Okay, so we have a pair
of
spring.
If not, we'll make it a pair.
It's a pair of spring concert tickets. So that way it can be you and a friend, you and your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, whatever. Spring concert tickets. Look, check this out, you guys. Look on my page. I'll post There's actually a picture of it on Relationship Central's page. I put a post on there about exciting news, and there's also a spring concert flyer on there. Listen, we're going to have, my God, Kiki Shears, right? Don't tell
Bishop.
Me. Bishop, no, he's last. Kim Burrell, Pastor Kim Burrell is going to be there, and Bishop William Murphy, okay? Then we're also going to have Marquise Williams, and we're going to have Chastity on there. Chastity sings. My God, this young lady has an incredible voice, so she's going to be doing some singing for us tonight, and who knows what other surprises you guys will find that evening. I know you're ready for that. So we're going to give you a pair of tickets to that. It's in May. I think it's May 10th. Let me bring it up.
May 21st.
May 21st, I'm sorry. Spring concert. So you have a little bit of time. You have just over a month to get yourself together, get your outfit, you know, get it all together, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a Newell's Knowledge tidbit, okay? It's some relationship advice. That's what we're going to give you tonight, okay? And after we give it to you, we're going to wait, let's say, 7 minutes. We'll wait 7 minutes, and then we're going to ask you a question about it, okay? So what you have to do is you have to listen to the Newell's Knowledge tidbit, okay? You guys hear me? Listen to the Newell's Knowledge tidbit, and then we will be giving you 7 minutes. We'll ask a quick question, you know, kind of how they do on Spread the Word, and the first person to answer it correctly will get those tickets, okay? So I'm going to give you 1 minute.
First
I'm going
to
ask you the
in.
Question. First person to call in. That's right. Listen, write this number down. I'm going to put it on the feed as well. You're going to have to call 657. You hear me? Listen. Oh, Lord. I don't know what this thing is doing. 657-383-1937, okay? I know that number by heart. I'm just fooling with the phone. 657-383-1937, okay? 657, one more time, 383-1937. We will see you in the queue. We will answer the line, and we will hear your answer. All right, hopefully it's right. There, I put the number in the feed for you. And let's see, yeah, it's right. So you guys call in. Let's see, Toby said she was about to go to bed before she tuned in. I needed to hear every word Bishop administered to me. Thank you. God bless you, Miss Mosley. Mrs. Mosley, you and your husband, God bless you both. Melissa said, this is what I need is some real conversation. Thank you so much for tuning in, Melissa. Tim said, you're just keeping it real. Well, that's it, Pop. Thank you, Tim, and I will keep you both in prayers. Thank you, K-Doug. God bless you, sir. Okay, but it looks like we still have quite a few viewers and some listeners, so we want you to call. If you're already in the queue, all you have to do is press 1 for the tickets, okay? All you have to do is press the number 1. We will be looking at the queue. It's right next to the Facebook feed, okay? And so I'm going to give you 1 minute before we ask this question, so get yourself together.
So, you know, we're still dealing with people going to see somebody and getting help. I may have a bunch of pastors jump on my case for this, and, you know, you're driving people out of my church and sending them elsewhere. No, I'm not. I'm sending them to get help. If one of your members came to you and said, hey, pastor, I got a pain in my side, and it's really bothering me, what scripture are you going to pull out and give them? Most likely, if you're reasonable thinking, you're going to tell them, well, go see a doctor. You know, go see somebody. You know, do you have medical insurance? You're going to send them to see somebody. You know, I was at church once. Funny story, I was at church once. I got a bad pain in my chest. And it felt like I was having, I never had a heart attack, but if that's what a heart attack feel like. And this pain got worse and worse. Well, the bottom line is the pastor didn't take me up front, slap me with a bunch of blessed oil and pray. They called the paramedics. Why'd they call the paramedics? Why didn't they take me up front and stretch me out and pray for me and lay oil, smear oil all over me? Because it was past what they were capable of doing. You know, so, and then here's the deal. Let's look at it this way. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let's look at it this way. Every time Jesus healed somebody in the Bible, he what? First made them acknowledge what was wrong with them.
Yes.
He acknowledged, he didn't just go heal somebody. He asked the blind man, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. He He asked a man laying by the pool of Bethesda, you know, what's wrong with you? Where I've been laying. So every time he acknowledged he had the person that had a problem acknowledge what their problem was, or the person acknowledged their problem before they got to him. The woman with the issue of blood acknowledged she had an issue and she needed some help. So now if you want mental help, you want psychological help, go find somebody that can diagnose you, then come back to the church and say, well, you know what, I'm schizophrenic, or I'm a bipolar, and I need you to pray that this goes away and God helps me. But how can we pray for issues that we don't know what the issue is? Every place I look into y'all, maybe some of y'all have seen issues in the Bible where Jesus just healed and didn't know what the problem was. If he was lame, Jesus knew he was lame. If he was blind, Jesus knew. Jesus and the blind person knew they were blind. If they had demonically possessed, they knew they were demonically possessed. And Jesus, so the bottom line is, what am I saying? I'm saying that you must first acknowledge there's an issue and know what the issue is. So, but the church has gotten to the point where they don't want us to have mental issues. They don't want us to have problems mentally. So now we're just supposed to bypass all that and give your mind to God. No, give your issue to God when you find out what the issue is.
Amen. So we're going to give away these tickets. I think it's been a minute. Okay. Now, are you guys ready for the newest knowledge tidbit? You know what? Wait a minute. I want y'all to share this video first, though. Can you share this for me real quick? Don't be selfish with the tickets, okay? If you fast with the fingers, you know, you will get the tickets. Don't worry about it. Share the video for me. Just do that. And I'm going to play this commercial. By the time this commercial is over, I want y'all to have shared at least a few videos, okay? Come on, help a brother and sister out. You know, you guys are upstanding people. Let's go. Troy said he really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for tuning in, Troy. Keith said he wants to thank his friend Brandon and his friend at the Upper Room for joining tonight. Wow, those are your friends, K-Dub. Bless you, sir. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. To K-Dub's friends that tune in, and you guys had some awesome input. Can you please come back? We really would appreciate for you guys to come back. Maybe one of you guys can get those tickets tonight. Let's see. I'm going to play this commercial. When the commercial's over, I'm hoping that there's some shared videos, and we're going to give away these tickets. But I want you guys to tell me what you think about this commercial. If it's whack, please just tell me it's whack. If not, I'm going to put it to some music, and it's going to become a commercial, okay? It's been a minute. Cole, it's been a minute. I know, please. Just give me like 30 more seconds, all right?
Cole won't come running down here knocking on the door.
I know, that's my neighbor. He's going to come get him. Listen, you guys, listen to this commercial, please. Here we go. Oh, shoot.
She broke it.
No, I didn't have the volume up. Sorry, you guys. Okay, here we go. Come on.
Want straight answers for those difficult relationship questions? Relationship Central offers life application with a solid spiritual foundation to enrich your lives and relationships. Feelings and emotions can get the best of us. But applying clear principles to our lives help us stay at our best. Dr. and Lady Newell's deliver a fresh, unadulterated, Christian perspective on topics like dating, marriage, and lovemaking. Many singles and couples are hanging on by a thread and at a loss for answers. If your marriage needs reviving, or the single life isn't treating you well, give RC a try. Services range from private counseling sessions to workshops and speaking engagements. Like Relationship Central on Facebook, or check out www.blogtalkradio.com/relationship central.
Booyah! What's happening? What's happening?
She needs help. She's the one need to be talking to somebody.
I told you I had PTSD.
Yeah.
I'm serious, you guys. Where y'all? Cole's laughing. I hope you laughing at something I said. What did you guys? Kate does.
Now, the first person to call in to tell us what you think wins the tickets. So
forget the newest knowledge. Just tell us what you think about the commercial.
First person calls in and tell us what they think wins the
tickets. No, Toby said dope. You
okay.
Said call in.
We said call in.
Look, so we're about to get a number. We're about to get a number. Here we go. 657-383-1937. I'll say it again. 657-383-1937. Okay,
so
let's
go. First person calls in gets those tickets.
Or presses 1 if you're already called in. Yeah. I'm looking. Toby said that's okay. What you mean that's okay, Toby? You don't want the ticket? Huh? I'm not going to make you say nothing.
I'm not going to make you say nothing. All you got to do is call in.
Said tell us what you think about the
commercial. Tell us what you think.
She already told us.
But,
all you got to do is call in.
All you got to do is call in and say, hey, like it. And that's it.
I'm waiting. 657-383-1937. Let's go. If you're in the queue,
to the concert.
Listen, if you're already listening by phone, just press 1. I'm like looking at the queue, like, why is no. Y'all don't want tickets. Where's the flyer? Let me just get the flyer. Because I don't think you guys know what we're giving away here. I'm dying right now. Tears falling. I know he's laughing because nobody wants these tickets. I'm like in shock. We got a lot of listeners. There's nobody pressing 1 and nobody calling. Look, Melissa, put 1 in the
one. That don't work. You got to call the number.
The thing is, if they call, look, they're putting 1 in the, because if they call the number, they're not going to be on the feed anymore.
Use a house phone. Use your wife's phone.
Nobody has a house phone anymore.
I know there's 2 of y'all in the house got
y'all don't
phone.
Have an OG house phone anymore.
There's
really?
2 of y'all in the house that got a house phone. Somebody dial. The first person that dials, 657-383-1937.
Wait a minute. I know Cole has a house phone. What is going on?
You're getting these gospel concert tickets we're giving away free. That's,
I'm going to show you guys the flyer. You're going to trip out. Like, why has nobody pressed 1 yet? People are typing 1 in the thing. They serious. Like, I'm not making no phone call. I'm not mad at y'all.
There's somebody right there.
Oh, we got somebody. Okay, hold on. Hold on, y'all.
Hold on. Here we go.
Pop is dope.
Caller, if you have, you're on the line. Who is this?
There's somebody right there. This big tier was dope, huh?
Tim, how you doing?
What's up, Pop?
Nothing, son, nothing. Well, I guess you won the ticket. What'd you think about the commercial?
I like the commercial. She sounded like, your wife sounded like Sirius. Sirius was Apple phone.
This is my Apple phone.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, the tickets are yours. Now what we need you to do, all you got to do is that day, and you'll be getting the concert.
And we're going to send you a flyer to your inbox with the address and everything on it, okay, Tim?
Okay.
All right, love you, man.
All right, love you, Pop. Love you, guys.
Love you, too. Thanks for calling. So, Tim is the winner of our ticket contest. Yes, this show didn't go anything like I planned tonight. I'm telling y'all, I had commercials lined up. I had the Newell's Knowledge tidbit. I had these tickets. We had it all planned out like a real radio show, y'all. Do you know we're getting ready to start Relationship Central Live? Y'all don't know nothing about that, huh? Y'all forgot. I can't believe y'all. We are about to start shooting live in the studio with a live audience. Do you hear me? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's blessed. That is our project in the making, y'all. So we are really trying to quit playing around with this thing and just having conversations and do our best to make it as professional as possible. So we enjoy talking to y'all. You know this. We want to see some of y'all in the audience. Okay, it's going to be at the Event Center, LAX Event Center, over there where Bishop Allen holds First Baptist Church of Venice services. So with Dee Dee, Apostle Dee Dee Allen, Neum, I think Apostle Allen, Michelle Allen records there as well for her Women of Great Purpose show. So a door has opened for us to do a live studio audience. Hello.
Actually, we'll also be on the radio. I will send that information out. We'll be on the radio Saturday. I got to send you what radio station, but we'll go into the radio station on Saturday, and Dr. Lady Knowles will be on the radio also. So we will send you that information as well. You know, and so now, you know, back to the topic at hand, because we got, you know, a little time left. You know, so we really want to adjure you guys, and we're really pushing, you know, for you to get the help you need, whether it be personal counseling for yourself, whether it's for your children, whether it's, you know, relationship counseling. The Bible says, now here's what the scripture says. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, there's safety in a multitude of counseling. Now, Psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, when it says not in the, blessed man that walks not in the counsel of ungodly, it's not talking about taking counsel from people that are professionals, people that can give you professional help. When it says blessed man that walks not in the counsel of ungodly, the phone cut off.
How did the phone cut off?
I don't know. Can you do yours?
Yeah, I'm already on there.
Can you do... Hey, y'all, phone died. Why they died, don't know. Modern technology. You think it's supposed to work, plugged up, everything. But what I was saying was, you know, if you really need help, go get the help. Please don't let anybody embarrass you or make you feel embarrassed or make you feel bad because you're going to get help. Don't let anybody make you feel that you're not spiritual, that you have a lack of faith, that you don't believe God because you're going to get help. Because that's not the case. Paul put it like this. Paul said, that that I know to do, I'm not doing. And that I don't want to do, that's what I consent to. He said, it is no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so what is he saying? He separated the flesh from the spirit. So just because you're going to get counseling has nothing to do with you spiritually. Doesn't mean you have a lack of faith, meaning don't mean you don't believe God, because all of us, majority of us, unless you're in some other religion, most of us that are Christians go see a doctor.
But what about people that don't want to go outside the church for counseling? Because, you know, we have, you know, there's one person very close to us that would like it, but is afraid to go. Or not afraid, but skeptical about going outside the church for counseling.
Well, the reason why most of us are skeptical of going outside the church for counseling is because we believe and we've been taught that everything was spiritual, and not everything is spiritual. You know, you lose a loved one, that's not a spiritual matter. You lost a loved one. Your heart is hurting. You know, that has nothing to do with a lack of faith, a lack of spirit, a lack of trust in God. No, you need to talk to someone that can help you work through this stuff mentally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, they can't help you work through it through the scriptures, because most of us know the scriptures. So you have to have somebody help you walk through that from a mental standpoint, that you may gain your power, gain strength, and everything all over again. You know, so that's the thing there. It doesn't, you know, and yeah, I understand the portion of wanting to go to a Christian counselor. I get that. But the thing is that a Christian counselor, majority of the time, is gonna counsel from a Christian standpoint. And from a Christian standpoint, using the Bible, when sometimes we need a bit more. You know, I would love to go to a Christian. I've been to doctors that are Christians. And when people come in the room and ready to pray because of, you know, I'm about to go into surgery, the doctor will grab hands and pray too. Then I've had other doctors that say, okay, I'll leave you guys alone and step out while you know, whoever's in there praying with me before I go into surgery or whatever. And that, because he steps out, it's not, I've never said, oh, he's not doing no surgery on me. You know, he couldn't even pray. You know, no, he's a doctor. He's gone to school. He's got his license. He got his degrees. And he's capable of doing what he does. So that's the only thing I'm saying is that, you know, please, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to see a grief counselor, if you need to see an anger management counselor, you know, somebody that can deal with anger issues, because there's some people that have anger issues and don't know why. And sometimes it may be something traumatic that happened in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're going to talk to the pastor, you're not going to tell him all about what happened to you at 6 and 7. He's not even going to ask. He's going to give, I can tell you, I'm a pastor, I can tell you what he's going to give you. Well, the Bible says be angry and sin not. The Bible says that you got to have temperance. The Bible says, you know, temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit and this kind of stuff. But then I still walk out angry. And that don't solve my problem. But if I find out my anger issue is coming because I was molested as a kid or something was done wrong to me, you know, I have a brother who really dealt with anger. And, my brother don't mind me saying he really dealt with anger, you know. And what it was his anger and the trauma came, as I told you earlier, for when my father shot my mother. And the trauma, that's when the trauma came in his life at 7 years old. So he said since he was a kid and he felt like he should have been done something, what could he do to a 200-some-pound man at 7 years old? So since he felt he didn't do anything, he felt like less than a man growing up and then carried this anger. So if you said, my wife would tell you, if you said boo to my brother at that point in time before God converted him, he was liable to do your job. And then even after God converted him, it took God to really deal with him and show him what the problem was. But he might have been able to get help long ago if when this happened, my mother took them to get help and had them see somebody. But she didn't know anything.
Right. Well, and we're not saying that God is not able.
No, we're not saying that.
We're not saying God is not able. What we're saying is that while we have this body, we need to do everything in our power to keep it healthy. And if that's going to pay somebody to sit and listen to us, right? Fine. I know the Bible tells us not to be complainers. But counseling is not necessarily complaining. Complaining it does not equal venting. Venting and complaining are, I have to look in the dictionary because I don't want to say anything and somebody come back and say, well, in the dictionary, they mean the same thing. But
no.
Complaining is not the same thing as seeking professional help for something that's plaguing you.
But
it's different.
I'm sorry, but when we look at the word vent, it's like an air vent. It's a release. It lets things out. Complaining is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining, you're just going over the same thing and you're not trying to do anything about it.
Right.
That's a complainer. Most people, we don't like that complain. Most of y'all out there don't like a person complain because you say they've been complaining for longer and won't do nothing about it. That's complaining. It's a different from venting when you're letting things on the inside out. Because now, if I go in the house and I tell me, somebody tell me what happened if I go in the house and I stuff up all the vents and then I clog up the filter to the vent. Well, now you got air that's trying to get out. And if that air don't release and is able to be let out, what do you have? Explosion. On a water heater, you got a release valve. It's a vent that you open up when the hot water heater, if it gets too hot and the water's not coming out, there's a release valve to let it out. So it's the same thing. Sometimes we have a release valve and we need to let it out. But we go so long with holding it in to where we get sick, we have heart attacks, we get stressed, we cry, we can't sleep, we can't eat, we lose weight, all because we won't release. And under the auspices, if we release and we say something where you're not believing God. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
All right, y'all. Well, there you have it. That's Dr. Newell. So I hope Tim enjoys those tickets. I'm so sad that our feed cut off for Facebook Live because I want to show you guys the flyer for the concert. It's so beautiful. It's going to be, I need that flyer. That's what I do need. So that's what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to get it for you. But I want to thank everybody that participated in Michael said God provides counselors. That's so important.
Amen.
He didn't leave us without
any
help.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael, because
yes.
That's so true. God gives them to you.
We'll say God provided the police. God provided the fire department. God provided the paramedics. But we won't say he provided a counselor to help you mentally. You need to take that to the Lord in prayer. You know, and the reason they told y'all that because they didn't want y'all telling nobody what was wrong with y'all. Because if you say something's wrong, then the bottom line is people look at that as, you know, God's not able. It's not, has nothing to do with God's not able. You know, I mean, I've had 4 knee replacements. Was he able to heal me? Yeah, but he didn't do it. So I had to go see the doctor. Not that I didn't believe him. I believed, but he still didn't do it. So I had to go see the doctor. The same thing.
All right, y'all. So I want to show you guys something. So I'm going to do this real quick. I know this is not cute, but this is a flyer. All right, because of our technical difficulties tonight. Now, Mr. Leslie Mathis put this thing together. All right. Reverend Leslie. Okay, so he put this together. Spring Concert, Lyndon Ear presents the Spring Concert featuring Bishop William Murphy, Kiki Sheard, and Kim Burrell. I know you know some of those faces up there. If you are part of the church, you know them. Look down there at the bottom. Mr. Cecil Thompson will be our host. Do you see Chastity there? This girl here is going to blow, y'all. Y'all hear me? This young lady, I think she's 12. She's going to sing that thing. Watch. Then we have Mr. Marquise Williams, who was recently signed to Ty.
It's
Ty Scott. Recently was signed to Ty Scott, whose owner, Bishop Scott, was just inducted into the Stellar Awards Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Marquise. He will be ministering that night as well. So you guys, get your tickets. Come out and support. You see the info there on the bottom? Let's do this, y'all. We'll be in the house. We'll be there. I don't know. Maybe Lady Knowles may get thrown up on the stage. No, I'm Mathis. I don't know. Hopefully not, but we'll see. Y'all, just come. We want to see you there. And Marquise has a concert on the 21st of this month.
This month.
Yep, the 21st of this month. Are you guys ready? Go support our boy Marquise, okay? His song, God Did It,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a phenomenal song, you guys. It just takes you back, and it's good singing, and it's wonderful. So, you guys, we want to see you at this event right here, all right? So that's what we got for you on this evening. And also, are you doing anything for Good Friday? That's what we want to know tonight, y'all. Y'all doing anything for Good Friday? Because we have something going on tomorrow with Pastor Hooks.
Right.
And Reverend Mathis over at New Hope Baptist Church, 5200 South Central Avenue, Los Angeles, California. I'm going to show you guys the flyer for that real quick because we want to see you there as well. Here we go. All right, check this one out. Now, the address is not on here. This is that new school type flyer that goes on billboards. You know what I mean? It's just jazzy, new age stuff. So I believe Pastor Hooks purposely left the address off here. You should just know where New Hope is. Do you hear? Okay. So New Hope Baptist Church tomorrow, 7 p.m. with Dr. Larry Hooks and First Lady Marcina Hooks. Lovely lady there. Very sweet. 7 last statements of Good Friday. We will have Miss Erica Jupiter and Lady Eva J ministering through music. And just look at the lineup of ladies down there. You're not hearing from the brothers on tomorrow night. Maybe a little bit. But the ladies have the conch tomorrow evening. Lady Knowles is there, last little photo there. So we want to see y'all. You want to come out and support Relationship Central? Come support Lady Knowles. And, you know, let's do this, y'all. Let's support one another. That's what we need to do. I hit cancel.
It happened. I think we got the message out.
Yeah, that's enough. Did I hit cancel twice?
I don't know.
I thought I did. It gives you like 5 seconds to cancel. Dang, it says 688 people saw this. Oh, my goodness. Listen, y'all, here on Blog Talk Radio, we have never had. Oh, you forgot? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Blog Talk Radio is still there.
Y'all know Blog Talk Radio is faithful. It doesn't go anywhere. It's there. So, you guys listening on Blog Talk Radio, we just ended our Facebook live sessions here, and I looked at the viewers, and we just ended the video, and there was a huge amount of viewers, and I'm guessing that is because of the events that have happened the last couple of days. I'm guessing there was some media listening and taking notes.
So you guys were in a nice little intimate conversation tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for joining us this evening. We hope you got some of your feelings out tonight and your questions about some of the things that we go through. So thank you so much for joining us and being faithful. But I promise you guys, on our next show, we're going to have this new format laid out. But listen, Blog Talk, we're going to a new studio show. So we got to get ready for that, you guys. So next week I'll have some more exciting news. And I don't know if we'll be able to give away more tickets, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is definitely a concert you don't want to miss. We'll have our final thought from Dr. Newell, and then we'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your evening.
Final thought for me is, you know, if you need help, please go seek it. Don't let the church put you in a trick bag that you are not faithful, that you don't believe God, that it's a lack of faith, and that the only person you can see is somebody that's Christian connected, because there are a bunch of good therapists, counselors, and psychiatrists out there that know how to do their job. So please, go see somebody if you need the help.